This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for a very busy Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Jennifer Kuiper. We have 53 degrees under cloudy skies. We're going up to 58 degrees this afternoon.
Markets sure are slippery today as they continue falling, an occasional rebound, but they are still way down. The Noon Business Hour presented by Republic Bank of Chicago. First, though, we have to talk about these plunging markets. Coronavirus is the cause. Joining us to talk about it, Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. He's also an economist. You can find him online at andrewbush.com. Andy, I'm pretty sure no one, when they woke up this morning, expected this kind of a day on Wall Street.
No, but I know the oil markets were anticipating a really bad day. And when you have Saudi Arabia and Russia not be able to come to an agreement on cutting oil production, some people say they need to cut 4 million barrels per day. And Saudi Arabia saying that they're going to pump like crazy. That's what drove oil prices down 30% plus on the opening. And why that matters for the United States, yes, it's great for gasoline, but it's really bad for the oil patch. And I'm talking about anybody who's involved in creating oil, driving a truck for an oil company, drilling in the ground, all of that. All of these companies are going to be negatively impacted severely by this. And if you just go down the list of all the big oil producers out there and how many people they employ, they're going to get severely impacted by this. So just on top of the coronavirus, this is what's happened today, and that's what's driving everything this morning.
And is that why there's an anticipation that there will be some sort of a deal at some point? Because at these levels, $33 a barrel, and not many people are making money.
No, that's right. And so we'll see what happens. We'll see how long this is going to go on. But right now, it's that oil sector is under a lot of duress. There's a lot of debt out there that's going to not make it as far as being able to make payments. So there's a lot of fear when it comes to that. And I would just add, too, when we're talking about the coronavirus, this week's going to be really interesting as well, because all of the kits, the test kits are going out. There's going to be a lot more testing done in the United States, and we'll have a much better grip on exactly how many people have been infected, also how many people have died, and therefore we're going to get the mortality rate on, or a better understanding of what the mortality rate is for the coronavirus, and that's really key for settling down the fear and panic that's out there.
And Andy, you said a fear and panic. Is there really a lot of fear here in that we've been in a pretty good economy with good job numbers? We've had encouraging construction numbers, housing numbers, et cetera. Is there real concern here, or is this just looking like this may be a few days or maybe a week? But what is the thinking on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say right now. So if you're looking at it from the stock market standpoint, what I'd look for are clear signs of what we can understand our earnings growth going forward. Right now, we don't have any clarity on that. So that would be a tipping point when companies come out and say, okay, we kind of understand how this thing works. We know we're going to be negatively impacted. This is what it looks like going forward. So it really depends on how far out the market starts to look on those earnings. The second thing I'd say is we're just about to start to get a lot of layoffs in the U.S. economy. Obviously, entertainment, bars, restaurants, hotels, airlines. The companies will keep people on for a while, but more layoffs are coming, and you can guarantee that. My guess is, just off the top of my head, I'd say the unemployment rate goes from 3.5% to maybe 4.5% to 5% in a really short period of time as these companies adjust to what's going on with the coronavirus and the serious drop in demand from people going out to bars, restaurants, using airlines, going on a Carnival Cruise Line, you name it.
Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economist at andrewbush.com. Thank you for joining us today. A cruise ship in California is in the coronavirus spotlight today as more cities and states report cases of the disease. Let's get an update from Robert Langreth, healthcare reporter, Bloomberg News. Bob, what are the hot spots right now?
Well, I would say Washington, California, and I guess to a lesser extent, New York. Those are some of the hot spots right now. Of course, they have a big outbreak in Washington that's looks like it's been going on for a while, kind of undetected, and it's really recently broke out in this nursing home, the Life Care Center, where there's been a large number of deaths and it's really spread throughout a lot of that nursing home and too many of the workers as well. And then, of course, there's cases in California, and there's this cruise ship coming into dock in Oakland that has cases on it. So it's a very complicated situation right now.
Has the CDC, are they doing daily briefings? Have they done one this morning so yet?
Yeah, they did do a briefing this morning, which I just was on. They well, there's been the president's task force has been doing some briefings, but this was the first dedicated CDC one in a few days. And so basically, the message was, you know, that this is a disease that where the real risk group is people with underlying medical conditions, and especially older people, people 60 years or older. And the older you get, the more vulnerable you are to getting a serious case of this. And so they suggested that if you are in this risk group, you know, you should stock up supplies and be pretending not go out a lot and be ready, you know, if you have to stay at home for an extended period of time.
So when it comes to people who are not in that group, either no underlying health condition or not the elderly, if you get this, if you get coronavirus, it probably won't be deadly. But what would it look like if someone gets it?
Well, so kind of here's what's happened in the coronavirus, and just kind of for some statistics here, I think in basically young kids, there's very few of the cases are in young people under 20. So if they get it, it's so mild they hardly notice it. And then in, I think in South Korea, there's been no one I think under 30 that died, and in Japan, it's been hardly anyone under 50 that died. And that's just giving an idea of how the people that are getting really sick and dying from this are in this much older category. The risk kind of skyrockets as you get up to 70 or 80 years old. And so kind of what happens is that the virus basically infects kind of up in the upper, most people in the upper respiratory area, kind of the nose, throat area. And when it just does that, those are all the mild cases. And that's like, you know, not that bad at all. You know, just kind of a mild, you know, cough, fever sort of thing. You're really not worse than a cold. And what happens is that in the percentage of people, around 15%, it starts there, but spreads deeper into the lung. And those are the serious infections. Once it gets deep into the lung, those are the ones you have to worry about. So that's just a portion of the cases. And once it gets deep in the lung, that's much more serious. That's the that's the coronavirus pneumonia that they first identified in China. And then a portion of those, patients is 15 or 20% that get this deep in the lung, then those people get, quite critically ill, and some smaller portion of those patients die. So that's kind of what happens. It's like this two-tier infection that most people get this mild thing, kind of the nose, throat area, and only in a portion does it somehow later, a few days later, spread down deep into the lung, making you very sick.
Thanks so much. Really good insight. We appreciate it. Robert Langreth is a healthcare reporter for Bloomberg News based in New York.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Been difficult to talk about the markets today. Not used to talking about the Dow down quadruple digits, but it is. What's going on with your 401k? A lot of people worried about that. Should you panic? Is it time to start moving money around? Ed Jurtzen is joining us, a certified financial planner at Mack Investment Securities here in Chicago, also a past national president of the Financial Planning Association. Ed, I've looked around at a lot of things on Wall Street today. However, I have not looked at my 401k today. Is that a wise decision?
It's excellent advice and a good decision, Cisco, because for your 401k, you're not talking about investing for tomorrow, next week, next year. I mean, for the vast majority of your listeners, this is long-term funds and long-term money. And as I said before on the show, I don't think the disease is going to kill global capitalism. It's definitely going to put a dent in it. But as we've seen over the decades in regards to the markets will come back. The economy will come back. But it's not time to panic at these market lows and make some knee-jerk reaction based upon what's going on today if you're planning so far ahead in the future.
So for people who are in my window, I still have a few decades before I'm able to retire. A day like today in the season like this is actually pretty good because of something called dollar cost averaging. We're actually doing okay with these investments.
It's an excellent point. I mean, for folks who are contributing to the retirement plans, especially those companies that offer a match, these are the times where your dollars are actually buying more shares as the markets decline and giving you that leverage that when the markets do recover are really going to help bolster those balances. But you've got to live through a little bit of pain first to get through that.
Ed, what have investors been, I'm looking at a firsthand account here, what have investors been doing during the market volatility? Have they been sitting tight? Have they been running to you and saying, hey, let's look at this and do something?
Yeah, Jennifer, I think most individuals sort of approach it in a couple of different ways. Some folks are looking at this as an opportunity in terms of, wow, prices are down. The markets have had a great run since basically the lows of 2009. And a lot of the listeners here on the show may not have experienced declines like this because we've been in such a long bull market. And then there are those who are worried about their plan and how is the markets going to affect their financial plan. And that is sort of the important part, is making sure that your portfolio matches your plan. And as mentioned, you know, for some folks, there retirement might be 15 years out, but don't forget, after retirement, you still have another 20 plus years to go in regards to your lifespan. So again, those who are thinking, well, I'm just going to be retiring in a couple of years, that money still needs to last a long period of time.
And when it comes to someone investing and having a day like this and really being sort of panicky, is that where your risk tolerance comes into play? I mean, don't invest in something if you're going to be that concerned about it on a day like this?
Well, most people love risk when it's working in their favor, right? They love taking a lot of risk, and it's been working very well for a long period of time. This is the second longest expansionary time period in the stock market since 1928. So risk has worked in your favor. But it's times like this, again, where risk doesn't work in your favor that you need to sort of recalibrate what does risk mean. And so, again, if you're losing sleep, you're not going to make it in retirement because you're going to worry yourself to death. So make sure that your risk tolerance in good times and in bad is aligned with that portfolio.
Thanks so much. Always good insight from Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner at Mac Investment Securities. Still ahead, the latest on the financial markets. Later, a visit with our Monday stock picker and a reminder, a podcast of this hour always available at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. Great to have you with us. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Jennifer Kuiper. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
The impact of coronavirus continues to grow, affecting the stock and energy markets.
We'll get a couple of investing ideas during this turbulent time from our Monday stock picker.
Loyola Academy and Will Madden and Vaughn Vocational High School in Chicago are closed today over concerns of coronavirus.
Rivers Casino in Des Plaines has become the first sports book in Illinois to take a bet.
Wall Street, the Dow down more than 1,700 points. The NASDAQ down 479. The S&P down 189. And oil is down a little more than 20%.
And AccuWeather says it's going to be cloudy, windy, and mild with some rain today. A high 58, 53 at O'Hare, 51 right now at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Republic Bank of Chicago.
Stocks are plunging on Wall Street today. Joining us with the latest on what's moving financial markets, Michael Palumbo, founder MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. And just to mention, looking up at the markets right now, the Dow is down 1,762 points, the NASDAQ down 484, S&P 500 down 191. Boy, you know, Michael, what are your thoughts on this morning's drop, the brief halt that took place, that circuit breaker in trading, and then what we're seeing right now?
Well, good afternoon, Cisco and Jennifer, and thanks for having me on this very crazy market day. You know, it started overnight as oil dropped 25%, and the SPOOS went limit down, the S&P futures is what I mean by SPOOS for your audience, and that basically signaled that we were going to have a major market move this morning. You know, we opened here in the United States at our lows, and we've actually rallied a little bit from there. But, you know, what's happened is we started with coronavirus, with COVID-19, and now we have an oil shock to the downside, a supply glut that is causing oil to trade down to $30. I mean, this seems like a perfect storm. You know, last week I had said on Twitter I thought that this coronavirus alone was going to cause a downturn in the S&P down to 2750 into April. But that was before this happened. Where we go from here, you know, my gut says we're going to go lower before we can recover because the news is not completely out. And the crescendo of emotions, you can tell. I've been in this business for 35 years. You can tell we are not there yet. But we are definitely getting closer. Days like today get us closer. And I just caution investors to one of two things. First of all, don't panic. Second of all, if you do not like volatility, if you do not handle volatility well, stay out. You don't have to play. If you're in a Vegas casino and you walk by a roulette wheel, you don't have to sit down and play. So I caution people, first of all, keep your head, especially when it comes to the virus. Wash your hands. Be cognizant of what you can do to limit the problem. And then also in the financial markets, just please do not panic.
And this is in conjunction with the oil prices. How concerned are banks right now? Because bank stocks are really getting hit.
Well, the bank stocks are because of what's going on in the bond market. You know, so you've got it. And I didn't even mention that part. I mean, we could talk for an hour about what's going on today. But yeah, I mean, so that's going to be the yield curve situation. So banks are going to are not going to make the kind of money they're normally used to because spreads are just too tight. They just cannot lend out money at a high enough rate to compared to what they can borrow. And so you're going to see bank stocks. Now, European bank stocks for the last 5 years have been getting killed because they've had this situation for a while. Now we're getting it. So what's going to happen in bank stocks is if this yield curve stays compressed like it is now and you have 30-year bonds trading with a yield of under 1%, if this continues, then bank stocks will continue to go down. This environment will be terrible for bank stocks, and that's why you're seeing them getting hit now. But before the last few weeks, our yield curve was fairly decent and provided some profitability for banks, and that's why you saw banks hold up. But yeah, I mean, what's happened in the last few business days has been terrible for banks.
Now, the people who do mortgages say their funds are ringing off the hook because, you know, the 10-year, obviously, these rates keep going lower. Does that refinancing activity help banks at all in an environment like this, or is it just not enough?
Well, it's going to help, but their bread and butter is the yield curve. And if the yield curve is compressed, I don't care how many mortgages they're writing. Let's face it, if they're writing a mortgage on a how high can they write it at? 3-4%? I mean, and there's going to be some that are get foreclosed, so they're going to have some loss on those. So that's not their bread and butter. Their bread and butter is just making interest rate spreads between where they can borrow and where they can lend. And if they're not able to lend at a high enough rate, their profit margins are just going to be too compressed. And again, I would just tell investors to look at what's happened to European banks. They are crushed, and that's because their yield curve has been this way for many years.
So what do we say to investors? What are you telling them on what to do in a market like this? If they want to make money, is there an opportunity, or should they wait a while?
There is always opportunity. There's always a bull market somewhere. Right now, the bull market happens to be in bonds. So if you're long treasuries right now, you are a very happy person. And that's why I always caution investors, please remain diversified. At 3,300 in the S&P, which was only a few weeks ago, I told people on Twitter, the bull case from here makes no sense. Be conservative. If people listen to that, they did not get hurt that bad by this downturn because they were not long a lot of equities. Now, at the S&P at 2,800, 2,773 as I speak right now, now is a time to be nibbling at stocks because you basically have an 18% discount from where you were. If you were massively long up there, quite honestly, you kind of, you know, I don't want to say you deserve it, but you got beat up. But if you were prudent up there, you are not badly damaged now, and now is the time to start buying. And so you look at high quality stocks. You look at the Adobes. You look at MasterCard. You look at NVIDIA, Apple, Google. These stocks now are at a significant discount to where they were just 2 weeks ago. So now is the time to be looking at these equities. and picking at them, knowing that you're not going to pick the bottom, but also knowing that you're a lot closer to the bottom now than you were 2 weeks ago. So now is the time to start getting away from bonds and getting into riskier investments like tech stocks, because we are much closer. I guarantee you one thing, we are much closer to the bottom now than we certainly were a couple weeks ago. And we won't pick the exact bottom. I said on Twitter last week, 2750 S&P, to me in April, was where we're going to about bottom. But that was before this oil crisis. Now, who knows? Maybe 2,500, maybe 2,600. Maybe it still is 2,750. Today's low, by coincidence, was 2,755 in the S&P. Is that what's going to hold as a low down the road? I doubt it. I think we will go a little lower because there's too much bad news still out there that has not come out.
Yeah, really, really difficult wait and see approach, but I think you're right on. Thank you. Always appreciate the analysis. Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital here in Chicago. Just ahead, oil markets in a free fall, down 20% right now. Energy analyst Phil Flynn will have the detail.
Download the WBBM Noon Business Hour podcast, or if you missed only a portion, rewind on the radio.com app.
Crude oil prices taking a nosedive today. Saudi Arabia and Russia setting off a price war. Joining us to explain what's happening, Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group, also a Fox Business News contributor. Phil, when you start seeing $32 a barrel, it's got to be making you a little nervous.
Well, I think it's making the global economy nervous. I can see that by the stock market reaction to what's been happening. And this is why, you know, I always tell people, you know, be careful what you wish for. You know, I always hear people say, I want low oil prices. I want low oil prices. Well, sometimes low oil prices really signal some stress in the economy. And sometimes along with these lower prices, you get what you're seeing in the stock market, and that is sharply lower stocks as well.
Now, is there an expected turnaround here if you can get Saudi Arabia and Russia to finally start playing nice?
I think there would be, but I think they're both sides are digging in their heels right now. The Russians are basically saying, listen, we can compete with Saudi Arabia. You know, you can throw anything you want at us and we'll be competitive. You know, Saudi Arabia, for their part, has been cutting their prices to all of Russia's customers and all U.S. customers, saying, hey, buy from us. We'll give you a discount. So it's a real price war right now. And Russia says, hey, you know what? We can keep this up. We can, you know, even if prices go to $25, we can survive at $25 for 6 to 10 years. Whether that's bravado or reality, that remains to be seen. But right now, the oil market is, you know, setting in for a long price war.
Phil, what does this mean for us at the pumps here in Chicago?
Well, at the pump, it's great news because you're going to probably see the price of gasoline fall at a time of the year where it normally goes up. You know, usually spring prices go up. They were starting to do that this year. But now with the flood of oil in the global marketplace, we could actually see gasoline prices fall. So instead of that big 10 to 15 cent bump that you get going into the summer driving season, you could actually get a 15 to 25 cent sell-off. And if this thing continues, it might even be more than that. So, you know, from a driver's viewpoint, this price war is going to feel pretty good. You know, but I still caution, you know, big picture, you know, I think this thing will settle down because we're going to see some stimulus come in the economy. I think that will help stabilize the price a little bit. But I'll tell you this, you know, if these prices stay down for a long period of time, it's going to be a big hit to the U.S. energy industry, the U.S. shale industry. And let's face it, the U.S. shale industry is really been one of the bright spots of the U.S. economy.
Yeah, certainly not an industry that needs any more hits. Thank you, Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group.
Discussing the news affecting your money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday. Joining us this afternoon is Tim Griske, chief investment strategist, Inverness Council in New York. Tim, what's your first pick?
Hi, Jennifer. I'm going to go with two names. The first one is NICE Systems. NICE Systems is in the call center as a service industry. So when you call that 800 number complaining about something or wanting a return, that is all the software of NICE Systems, whether it's a robot or a person using their software to solve your problem. So this is a fast-growing company, and it's getting hit badly today. It's down almost 13% on no news other than what's impacting the overall market. So we see that as an opportunity today.
With AI, you know, I think a lot of people thought that fewer and fewer people would be using this sort of software, but now AI, it makes it so easy to make it sound like you're actually talking to a human being, even when you're not.
Exactly. And, you know, their software is sophisticated. So if the caller is getting frustrated or having a problem, they'll reroute you immediately to an actual human being, hopefully in the U.S., who can really solve the problem.
Okay, so your first one, NICE Systems, ticker symbol NICE. What's your second?
Yeah. The second is a big name, obviously. Everybody knows it. J.P. Morgan, the big bank. Of course, it's more than just a consumer bank or a commercial bank. They are also an investment bank. They are growing geographically. They're growing in various product lines. Extremely well-managed company. And it's down also almost 13% here, a lot more than the market. And while it's being hurt by lower interest rates, it has so many other things going for it that the other banks do not, that we see this as a real value today.
Talk about that a little bit more because, you know, as you mentioned, a lot of banks are struggling, a lot of them because of interest rates, not really able to make the money that they ordinarily would. What sets J.P. Morgan apart?
Well, it really is all these other businesses they're in besides traditional banking. So investment banking in particular. So with asset prices down, security prices down here, there are bound to be some companies that step up with their cash and make some acquisitions. And J.P. Morgan is on the front line of that, along with, say, a Goldman Sachs or a Morgan Stanley. And they are very well respected in the investment banking business. They also have an investment management business that is quite sizable. So they're in a lot of different areas that can really diversify their business, and they're not totally exposed to just the level of interest rates.
Thanks for all that insight. Tim Grisky, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council. His two picks today, NICE Systems, ticker symbol NICE, and J.P. Morgan, that's J.P.M.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.